In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This past Friday, Doug and I went with my son Sam and his fiancée Shauna to Maymont. We wandered around the children's farm, looked at the raptors, watched a black bear scratch an itch by nuzzling up to a tree stump, and enjoyed the beautiful and peaceful Japanese and Italian gardens. But one of our favorite moments was visiting with the sheep and the goats. Some of the goats had managed to stick their heads, including their horns, through the bars of the fence. Because if you've been there, you know that they have these little dispensers where for 25 cents you can get some animal feed and feed the goats, and they knew that. The sheep looked calm, as usual. Sheep usually are pretty calm animals. But the goats looked a bit neurotic. They were giving us sidelong glances and wondering why we were looking at them and laughing a bit. They were all out together in a pasture, and they seemed quite comfortable sharing that hillside. But we knew that as the evening would approach, the staff of the park would come and bring them up from the hillside and put them into the barn at the top of the hill. And the sheep would go into one pen and the goats would go into another. Those people who take care of the animals there at Maymont would do precisely what Jesus describes in today's gospel. They'd separate the sheep from the goats. Now, the folks at Maymont would do it because they have pens that are clearly marked with little silhouettes. One has the silhouette of a sheep on it, the other one has the silhouette of a goat. So they go into their proper places. But why would the shepherd in Jesus' story sort them out in this way? It took a little searching. Google is both a wonderful and terrible thing. But I finally found some of the answer. It turns out that sheep can actually stay outside in the hillside all night, even in the coldest weather. They've got those great big thick woolly coats, and they gather closely, and they actually throw off a tremendous amount of heat. You'll remember that on Christmas Eve when we talk about sheep on the hillside with the shepherds in the dead of winter. And they were perfectly fine out there. Shepherds may have been cold, but the sheep were okay. They actually prefer being out of doors, as those of us who get a little hot every now and again would appreciate. Goats do not. They have a rather thin pelt, and they need the warmth of a shelter at night out of the cold night wind. So a smart shepherd gives each of the animals what it needs to survive, be it fresh air or warm shelter. Even though that actually makes more work for the shepherd, because after he gets those goats safely into their shelter, he has to stay up with the sheep on the hillside to protect them from predators. But still, that's what shepherds do. They do what is necessary for each animal under their care. And that's the image of a shepherd that we hear both in the Old Testament reading from Ezekiel that Sarah read for us, and our gospel story. A shepherd who tenderly cares for all his animals, even though those animals may sometimes be wayward and uncooperative and downright mean. But what a warm picture of that shepherd. We visualize one of those Victorian-era paintings with Jesus wearing sparkling white robes, no trace of mud or dirt or other detritus of the animals on them. A blue-eyed, sandy-haired Jesus bearing a fluffy little white lamb, freshly groomed, on his shoulder. But there's also another picture of the shepherd in these readings. particularly in the gospel reading, where Jesus has some decisions to make, some judgments about the flock at the end of the season. Who has done what the shepherd has told them to do? Who has been a good member of the flock, obeying the shepherd's bidding, and who has not? So at the end of the season, the shepherd becomes a judge, a rather different role, requiring him to be decisive and clear rather than warmly tender. How do we reconcile these two roles? And that's where we need to go back to Google and take a closer look at the reality of the shepherding business. At the end of the season, the shepherd must do some sorting out of the animals. Some will be kept to make more lambs and kids in the next year. Some will be sold at market to provide food in the winter season. Some will be traded away, probably the ones that nip when you try and feed them. And the shepherd takes on the role of the judge to decide which of his charges goes into which category. Some get kept and some, how shall I put this delicately, get disposed of. Jesus shifts from being the tender shepherd to being the astute and fair judge of the flock. Not so warm and fuzzy, but clear-eyed and ultimately very fair. The remarkable thing about both the Ezekiel reading and the Gospel of Matthew about this time of judgment is how similar they are. In both cases, a picture is painted of God's flock. God's people are that flock under the loving care of a shepherd. Some of them are good and some of them have not been so good. The shepherd tries to train them and to protect them and to keep them together, but it doesn't always quite work as the shepherd had hoped because sheep and goats are not always as good as we hope for, just like human beings. The members of the flock who have treated others badly, who have stolen their food or pushed them away from the good pasture lands, in other words, those who have gotten fat at the expense of others, are the ones who will now suffer. Ezekiel makes it very clear. I will feed them, those fat and greedy ones, with justice. Jesus makes it clear. And these will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The shepherd is transformed into the arbiter, judging the members of the flock. We know that this is a metaphor describing our relationship with Jesus. We are the sheep and goats, and Jesus is the shepherd. And this might make us a little nervous hearing this passage from Matthew, because none of us likes to be judged. We know better than anybody else that we are less than perfect. And we worry that Jesus might be disappointed in us. And heaven forbid we might be cast out into eternal punishment. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm willing to accept punishment for my sins, but I surely hope I'm going to dodge the bullet of eternal punishment. But the good news is that Jesus gives us very clear instructions on what we're supposed to be doing to be on the right side of his judgment seat. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give drink to the thirsty, visit the sick or those in prison. In short, help those who need help. Help those who need help. Sounds simple, doesn't it? And the second bit of good news is that we already do some of these things. We have lamb's basket, our food pantry. People here bring food every week and put them in the baskets. Many of you work in the food pantry. We have lay Eucharistic ministers who bring communion to those who are homebound or in nursing homes or in the hospital. We just sent off a whole bunch of food baskets, Thanksgiving baskets, for needy families through the Interfaith Services of Henrico County. And the remarkable thing is how unremarkable these things seem to us. We think they're small things. We don't make a big deal about some food that we bring in to donate, or going out to somebody's home to run an errand or to bring them communion. We don't make a fuss about it. It's not something that's dramatic or flashy. It's simple things done with love and with care, not expecting anything in return. And so we tend to think that they're not enough. We devalue these beautiful little gifts that we do every single day. But that's why Jesus says this in this gospel passage today. This is the good news that we hear today. Even at the time of final judgment, that time when it's sorting time, sheep on one side, goats on the other, we need not be afraid. We have done the simple things that Jesus has asked of us without any expectations. And even those of us who don't have the means or the physical capability to bring things or to do things, offer prayers. Prayers of comfort and hope for those who struggle. And because of that, we are promised eternal life. Not endless punishment, but eternal life. We may wonder if we are good enough to be judged worthy of eternal life. But this gospel is the reminder that we can be. It doesn't take incredibly dramatic work. It doesn't take martyrdom. It doesn't take changing the whole world. It simply takes doing one simple thing, changing the world a little bit at a time. One person, one little bit. Whatever you have done for the least of these, even one small thing done for the least of these, you have done for me. So the next time you drop a box of cereal in the basket for Lamb's Basket, or run an errand for somebody, or say a prayer for somebody who you know is hurting, you are helping Jesus, and you are helping Jesus decide whether you are a member of the flock who deserves eternal life. The shepherd cares for you, but he must also figure out whether you get to sit at the heavenly banquet table or whether you get to be someone's lamb dinner at the banquet table. Will you be seated at the banquet table, or will you be served on it? You decide, so he can decide. What will you do? Amen.